Great job, guys. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to find your Bible, and I hope you brought your Bible with you today, and find the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we're going to be considering verses 12 through 27 today in the final in our series today on the church, part 3. And you'll notice we have our sign there. Chris Henry did a great job with that, and we've looked at the who. The who is the church. The who is, we considered, is the church, and the church is founded by the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the what. Well, the what is the membership in that said body, and today we're going to consider the why, and here's the title: You Are Somebody in His Body. So I hope you remember so far in this series that we have been considering how there are certain words and ideas in our society, in our culture, that we have denigrated. We considered the word love, how we have denigrated the word love, and it really can mean a myriad of different things to different people here today. We also considered how we have denigrated the idea of membership in our society. We can be a member of many different things, but membership in the church is totally different than any other entity on planet Earth. Well, today, it's sad for me to say this, but it is a reality that we have really denigrated, we have debased, we have made light of our importance to God and what He is doing in His local New Testament body. So in this series, we've tried to show the who, the what, and today we're going to focus on the why. And the why is this: I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that you are important to North Fairfield Baptist Church. And if not this church, you're important to a church somewhere if you're a part of the body of Christ. But let's be honest this morning. Let's be completely honest this morning. How important is the church to you today? Is this church really important to you? See, here's the one thing, and I want to paint this picture, but if I give you right now where we're going to be going, I want you to understand that you are somebody in His body. And if you are somebody in His body, then friend, this body should be important to you today. Now let's take that 3-mile-high view of some of the ideas given in the scriptures about the body of Christ, about who we are as Christians. Well, the church is described as the bride of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Because we understand the imagery given between a bride and a bridegroom. Christ is the bridegroom, and you and I as the church are part of the bride. But the church is also described as a building, not the building that we have in front of us. When someone says, well, let us go into the Lord's house and be glad because we're there, we're not talking about this physical building. We're talking about the assembly of people that have come together to meet, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we say when we say His house. We're talking about His people, the assembly, the ecclesia of His people. Another image that's given in the church as well, I don't want to miss this part in it. I don't want to forget about this part of the building. Not only is Christ talking about the building, as the church is the building, but you and I are part of the foundation of that building. We are considered lively stones, or living stones in that. Now, the church is also described metaphorically as an army. And Christ is the captain. He's the victorious king. And you and I are under His command. Another image that is given in the scriptures about the church is the church is described as a flock of sheep. And we have this shepherd who is called the good shepherd, and we know His voice. But today, we're going to focus on the church being described as the body. And if the church is the body, then the Lord Jesus Christ is the head. And you and I are members of that body. Now, let's go back just a little bit and think about all the things we just sort of laid out there, laid open from this 3-mile-high view. Don't miss in these descriptions. There's some common threads in these descriptions that we're talking about. Whether we're talking about the bride, or we're talking about the battalion, or we're talking about the flock, it's Jesus Christ who is leading all those entities. And we must never lose sight of that. And every one of these entities not only speak of Jesus Christ as the leader, as the one that goes before, but it also says this: we are connected to Him. It's speaking of community. So regardless if we're talking what image we're looking at, there's always this idea of community. None of these images speak of individualism. Every one of them speak about togetherness. So let me distill that down just a little bit further. We are all in this together. So I wanted to do this morning. I think it's important for us to do. I want you to look at the person to the left of you right now, and I want you to tell them, we are in this together. That may not work so well, but you get the idea. Now look to the person to the other side of you and tell them this as well. We are in this together. Let's do it. We are in this together. All right. It looked better on paper. Can I give you just a little pastoral story this morning that I actually had witnessed to as pastor of this church a few years back when we were involved with an outreach for teenagers here in a conglomeration of different local New Testament bodies? Someone said this to me, and I'm going to read it verbatim. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the church. That's what was said to me. Here's what my response to that is. They just need to shut up. Because they're not showing an understanding of the Bible. They're either showing their arrogance or they're showing their ignorance. Jesus and the church are not identical. But can I say this? They are inseparable. As a bride and groom goes together, as a body and a head goes together, as a building and a foundation go together, they need to be together. Let me be even a little more blunt this morning. You have to have the parts to have the whole. So if we don't have Jesus here today, we don't have church. And if you and I are not here today, don't miss this. We're not having church. Amen? So you are somebody in this body. Now, if you desire fellowship in God's church, that's a great thing. But if you're arrogant enough to say to me that I don't believe in the church, I believe the really thing that you're trying to say here is that you don't desire fellowship with other people that have been called of Christ. And let's just come down to the real problem here today. If you don't desire fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, then there's probably a good chance that you're not going to have fellowship in the world that will come without end in heaven with Christ. If we love Jesus and he loves us, we're going to love what he loves. We're going to love his church. We're going to love his people. We're going to be a part of what he's doing in his community. So let's go to this 12th chapter today. We're done with that 3-mile high look at this. And let's get to the meat and the potatoes today of what we have. Now you have your outline that you can fill along with me here this morning. And take that home. Study it further as we go into our time when we'll not be together. So let's look at this. First, I want us to realize that in a body, there's a revelation of a person. So we're focusing on the body. A body is a revelation of a person. So look at verse 12 with me. This wonderful verse. For as the body is one. Now stop for a moment. Just think of your physical body. There's a lot of different things that make up our physical body. Well, all of these things that make up our physical body make the body one thing. It says here, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, there's three basic things you need to understand about your body. You are not your body. Now, you may think that you are your body, but you're not your body. You just live in your body. It is an earthly house. The Bible calls our bodies a tent. It's just a temporary dwelling. Your body is a manifestation and an expression of the person that lives inside of it. We express who we are, soul and spirit, through what we see as flesh and blood. And all that can be known about any of us is known through what is done through our body. What is known about me is known through my body. What I say, obviously, today as Pastor Mark, I'm standing before you bringing the gospel message. What we write is known through our body. What we like, we understand through our body. So follow with me here. If Jesus lives in his body, which is the church, it should be easy for the world to see that he's saying some things. He has written some things. He likes some things. So let me go a little further into that, to what the Bible clearly teaches. For us to really understand what this idea of the revelation of the person is, we have to understand that Jesus is not only God, he's the second person of the Trinity, but he's also a revelation of the Father. See, Jesus is the complete revelation of God. In Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, the writer in Hebrews says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past by the fathers, by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, that through him all the worlds were made, who being in the brightness of his glory. He's talking about God. Jesus was in the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of the Father's person, upholding all things by the word of his power when he had himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, friend, the fact of the matter is that everything that we know about God, everything that we know about God came through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had a temporary dwelling place just like you and I here today. He had body, he had mass, he had soul, he had spirit. So just as he had a temporary dwelling and expressed who the Father was and is and will be, you and I today as his church are his earthly body. We express all that Jesus is, all that he will be, and all that one day will be in the world without end. Jesus Christ was the visible of the invisible God. Now, as Christians who are to unite together as part of a conglomerate called the church, we collectively come together to represent Jesus Christ here on this earth. So, as the pastor of this local New Testament body, whenever there's something that is visibly seen in this church, well, we're seeing Jesus. As I watched the singers this morning display their gifts, utilize their gifts to glorify God, I saw them, but really I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. As I came here yesterday morning and I witnessed all these people out here doing all these different things, what did I see? Well, I saw people working, but I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. As it was relayed back to me because of my illness last week, that great things were going on in the revival. As a pastor's heart, I was overjoyed, overwhelmed, just broken in spirit and overjoyed in mind to know Jesus was being showed at this church. Amen? I mean, that's the way that it is. People say they see the wind. Can I be honest with you? I've never seen the wind. I've seen the effects of the wind, but I've never seen the wind. There is a mystery to it. And although we can say, oh, we've never seen Jesus Christ, let me say to you today, we saw it in the display of the financial aspect of what's going on here at this ministry. We saw it when Lori Payne got up here and explained what her mission is as VBS leader. We saw not Lori, but we saw the effects of the wind on Lori, the wind of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit blowing over her. So the body is not really the person. It's just the means by which we see the person. Amen? Boy, I wanted to preach that so hard today. And I hope I did it justice. When we see anything go on, we see the marvelous effects of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, not only in the body is there a revelation of person, but there's also a revelation of purpose. So I want you to ask yourself this question. What is the purpose of your body? Well, the purpose of your body is to be your servant. The body is the servant of the person who lives in it. So It just sounds good and reasonable and sound that the body should not have plans of its own. Well, that would be dangerous. I have a left foot today. I have a right foot. They have to work in conjunction to get anything done. My left foot could decide to go left, and my right foot could decide to go right. And if they continued to do that, I would be doing something that's called the splits. And at 51 years of age, I'm not going to be doing that, okay? They have to work in conjunction. They have to work in conjunction with what my soul, what my spirit is telling me to do. They're here for a purpose today, and that is to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the members of my body need to follow the direction of the person of myself that is giving them. Now, here's the truth. The body is the servant of the person who lives in that body, and it should not originate its own actions. Amen? We know that that would be dangerous. For the church and the Christian, it's the same thing. Friend, each of us have been gifted in a unique way. The body is many different members, truly many different members, functioning in unity, functioning in uniformity to fulfill its purpose. And I want to say that every gift, regardless of whatever gift we want to talk about today, has one thing in common. It has to be used. If a gift is not used, then is it really a gift? Think about the giftedness across this congregation today. The gifts that get noticed are the ones that get used. The gifts that are not getting noticed are the gifts that are probably not getting used. So you are doing this body a disservice when you say, well, you know, all I need to do is just come here and I'll put a little money in the plate and I'll be here and there once in a while. And Lord, if I miss a Sunday, that's okay. Oh, they need someone to work in VBS, or they need someone to work in Upward. They need someone to work over here, over there. They need the Sunday school teacher. Well, it doesn't really matter. I'm just here for the show. You're doing the body a disservice. Because I know this, that everybody in God's body and the body that we call the church has giftedness that needs to be used. Dear friend, God has put you here. Our God is going to place you somewhere where you can be utilized. Maybe it's not God's will that you be led to North Fairfield to be a part of this local New Testament body. Well, my challenge to you today is you need to find where that is and be used of God so you can be part of that revelation of purpose. Now, let's go to the third thing here today. Let's talk about the revelation of power. Here's another fact about our bodies. It's more than just an organization of different members. It is actually different members, or an organization of different members put together. I want you to look at verse 13. Find that 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, verse 13, and let's read that. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. See the word spirit there. You can go ahead and underline it in your Bible. It doesn't hurt your Bible. It's not defacing the Bible. It's not adding or taking away to it. Go ahead and underline that word spirit because it's telling us something there. It's telling us that the body is more than just an organization or an organism. In order for it to have life, it must have functionality from something beyond itself. That's what it's telling us. See, the life of the human body is the human spirit. And the life of Jesus' body is the Holy Spirit. Now, here's some ways, and just this verse and some other verses along with it, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, makes his body unique. See, the church is the most unique thing on planet Earth, period. It is, and there's nothing that will ever stand up against it. Not even the gates of hell will prevail against God's church. So the church is different. The church is different from any organization. When I was a father, and still am a father, but when I had kids in school, there was something called the PTA, Parent Teachers Association. Well, I remember as a young lad being a part of the Boy Scouts, part of that organization. I know that we've had members here that have been part of the Elks. We have members that are Democrats. We have members that are Republicans. And we have some that are Libertarians. They belong to a political party. Every one of these organizations are not really a body. They're just an organization. Why? Because they have installed leaders through the will of the organization. The organization is convened together. They've decided, well, this is who's going to lead us. This is who's going to represent us. There we go. But you see, Jesus Christ is not the CEO or president of some corporation. Christ is not the head of the church by the will of the members of the church. He is the head of this body because he died for it. He gave himself for it. And one day he will present his church to himself, holy, spotless, and blameless. That's different. He's not CEO. He's the head of this body. And he one day will present his body to himself the way that he has climbed clearly out in his word. See, the problem today is that many churches have taken Jesus Christ out of the head. There's such a clamoring to have my say or my two cents in things. Jesus Christ has been taken out of the head, and what has happened is there's been an incorporation of organizational power rather than Holy Spirit power. Let's just imagine for a moment. Jesus Christ, on the day of ascension, he was called up, caught away. They stood there and gazed and watched him as he was taken away, and they were told, listen, men of Judea and Galilee, the same Jesus that was taken away, one day will come back. But just for a moment, in your sanctified imagination, just imagine if the Holy Spirit himself was to be called away from planet Earth, what would happen to some of our churches today? Well, for many of them, they wouldn't know anything had happened. But why? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit power in them. They have organizational power. Well, they have this head, they have this conglomerate of committees, they have this going on, that going on, not knocking those things. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ need to be the center of every single thing that a church does. There's no backbone to the church. There's only the bits and pieces that we all play in the role that God has given us here. So for a church to have power, they have to realize where power comes from. As believers, we are placed in the body of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who is doing the baptizing. The believer is the one who is being baptized, and he or she are being baptized into the body of Christ. And when the believer is baptized in the body of Christ, when does that happen? That happens at the very moment they put their saving faith in the only begotten Son of God to save them from hell because they're a sinner of no hope of saving themselves. Now, the last thing this morning, in the body, there's a revelation of program. Now, think for a moment, just for a few more minutes, I should be precise. Why? Wow, about this. There are many members in our human body today. They have one agenda. What's that one agenda? To promote life. Breathing happens sort of naturally, doesn't it? Heart beating, sort of going on, isn't it? Those things concur to what? To sustain life. Let's look at verses 14 through 20. For in fact, the body is not one, but many. Not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not the body? Is it not therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one members, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Can I distill that down? Can I rephrase that for us this morning? Just in a simple, clear, concise statement. A healthy body is coordinated. Amen? There's coordination. There's coordination that takes place that no one ever realizes. Paul is telling us there are things that have to go together for life to be able to go on in a body. and he's using it metaphorically within a church. So I want us to consider some things this morning. Going back to verses 15 and 16, we share the same life. The foot and the hand should never be in competition. This morning, as we were getting ready for services this morning, Brenda looked at my feet and she said, "Your feet are gray, Mark." I said, "Well, hon, I think they're a little pasty. They never really see the light of day too much." But think about the difference between a hand and a foot. Our hands, we put rings on them. Ladies, you will paint them, you adorn them with nails, acrylic, and otherwise, won't you? Sure. Our hands get the most focus, don't they? But if it's not for my feet carrying my hands somewhere to be able to do something, then it wouldn't be done. If my hands are not carried by my feet to walk up to my dear friend, Brother David, and shake his hand, I will never shake your hand, will I? So which is more important? Huh? That whole idea, we share the same life. All these things have to come together to be able to promote life, to promote functionality. Most of the time, things do go unnoticed that are so, I guess, in some sense, debased. Our feet do seem debased, but without our feet, we get nowhere. Things in our body can go neglected. They go unnoticed. Or they go unnoticed, they often go neglected. A few years back, in 2009, December, I had a heart attack. And my heart sort of went unnoticed. Well, I can tell you 3 years after that, my heart does not go unnoticed now. So let me ask you, think about this morning. Do you ever think about what goes in bringing this type of atmosphere together, this kind of meeting together, this conglomeration, this ecclesia, this called out ones of the church? What goes on? What goes on to bring a worship service together? You know, somebody had to clean this place. Because to be frank with you, you're messy. You leave a mess. Can I tell you something's going on back in the nursery right now? There's people maybe changing a diaper, maybe feeding a baby, doing something like that right now. Huh? What about some of the things that we notice, the instruments, the vocals, the things of that nature? Do you realize that those folks have probably worked on what they've done this morning, maybe 6, 8, 10 hours? They get emails sent out, and this is the set we're looking at. This is where we're going to go. And then there's MP3 files that go along with that. And, you know, the music's reviewed before it's ever even gone over. All those things go into place. Were you in Sunday school this morning? If you were in Sunday school this morning, did you have a cup of coffee? Because somebody made that cup of coffee. As you walked in the doors this morning, do you realize somebody opened those doors? Let me ask you this. Do you realize that somebody's going to close the doors tonight? Lock it? Set the alarm system? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that somebody's got to write the checks out here? Because the pastors do not sign any checks. We have access to no money. Period. And that's the way that it should be. Who cut the grass this week? By the way, who did cut the grass? Was that you, Marty? Jerome and Marty did a great job. Do you know that we're battling with a lawnmower right now? It just does not want to cooperate. Marty is bringing his own mower over on a trailer to get some things done here But boy, if we came here Sunday morning and the grass was about 6 or 7 inches high, wouldn't it reflect bad on what's going on here? What if somebody walked in the restroom and smelled, wasn't clean, wasn't right? What if they had coffee that was made last week? Some of us wouldn't know the difference. See, this is important. The bottom line is that all these things have to go on to make life. I'm not the life of this church. I'm the one who's privileged to pastor this church. And what a joy that is for me. But I can tell you right now, last week was an evidence of it. If I'm gone, it goes on. Amen? Did you all have church last week? Amen? Where was I? I wasn't here. I was curled up in the fetal position crying like a baby. All right. Let's look at the next thing. We don't show the same life. We show the same love. Look at verses 25 and 26. There should be no schism. That's actually a transliteration of the Greek word. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Boy, I can tell you that's true. Yeah, if one member is honored, then the members rejoice with it. Now, the word schism there is just a transliteration of the Greek word schisma. And I didn't take the time to look etymologically where the word actually originated from either from maybe Aramaic or maybe Hebrew. But I do know this about the Greek word itself. The Greek word itself refers to a tear, not physical in nature, but in mind and sentiment. So let's just take, and metaphorically this morning, let's say we have two halves to the church today. We have this half here that is for, we're going to meet at 10 o'clock. And then we have the other half over here that says, well, you know, I'd like to sleep in on Sunday mornings. Let's meet in 12 o'clock, okay? And the 12 o'clock side is diametrically opposed to anything about the 10 o'clock side. That would be a schism. A tear in mind, okay? That's metaphorically what it is talking about there. What's being said here is every member needs to minister to one another. And that means five things. And I think these are in your outline, if I remember correctly this morning. And I do see that on the outline. There can be no arrogant members. Here's what you fill in. I don't need you. Boy, you want to see my stormy north side? Let me hear that come out of your mouth for somebody that's really serving and trying to do their best here. Oh, we don't need you because you think they're better than them. Don't like that. Won't tolerate that. That's where you and I are going to break fellowship if you don't get it right. Next thing. There can be no envy. I want what you have. Let me say something about Matt this morning. I'm so grateful when I come in this morning, and I didn't attend Sunday school because of this kidney stone I got going on. Matt was so grateful to see me. You know, Matt was not wanting to preach Sunday morning. He was prepared to preach this Sunday morning, but he understood as the associate pastor should, the senior pastor, lead pastor, he needs to be here presenting the word of God. Thank you for that, Matt. I was so glad that you were happy to see me. I was happy to see you. Amen? And by the way, he's a great associate pastor, friends. And I know he did a great job last week. I want what you have. You may have it someday, Matt. Just not yet. There can be no rivalry. I can do it better than anyone. I can do it better than anyone. Boy, don't say that. There's different ways to do different things. And I love kitty cats, but the old adage goes this way. There's a myriad of ways to skin a cat. Don't skin cats. That's not a nice thing. But the idea is there. There's a lot of ways to approach things. Okay. Fourth thing. There can be no self-sufficiency. I can do it all myself. Oh, that doesn't get anything done. Man, don't be afraid to ask for help. Fifth thing, there can be no disunity. I don't like you. That's one of those rules right there for me. Don't like to hear that from somebody's mouth as well. Don't like him, don't like her. Well, what in the world are you going to do when you get in heaven and you're around them for 24/7 throughout the what's called eternity? Don't say that. Let's look at the next thing. We serve the same Lord. Verse 27, it says this. Now you're the body of Christ and members individually. We don't lose our identity. We're not wearing the same suit. We don't wear the same ties. We don't even have to wear a tie. If you want to come in with sandals this morning, man, you have at it. Come out with sandals this morning. You want to put a ring on your toe? Get with it. That's fine. Go with it. I'm fine with that. That's not me. That's not where I'm at. That's not the way I roll. But I'm fine with it. You have at it. But it's going to take all of us to do, as individuals, the one thing that needs to be done here, and that is to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. So what is being said here? To me, it's loyalty. A few years back when I was working on my undergraduate degree, I went through one of those psychology classes and I sort of struggled with that stuff. I don't really particularly like it that well. But anyway, during this psychology profile that they did of me, they said that I'm a very loyal person. And that's true. I'm a very loyal person. I keep my loyalties in check. I'm loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm loyal to the people that I serve with. That's paramount, one of those characteristics that God has put in my heart that I'm proud of, to be quite honest with you. Loyalty here goes beyond just what I'm talking about there, because it's talking about loyalty to the head. If we're loyalty to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the leader of this body, then we must show loyalty to one another. Loyalty to Jesus simply means loyalty to one another. If we love Jesus, we must simply love one another. So as your pastor, this is just a big conglomeration of an overview this morning of three things that I have as a holistic goals for this church. One is this. I want to stay clean and close. That's my prayer for myself. I remember Brother Dave Moore, as his mother was passing away with her lung disease. One of the things she said, "How can I pray for you, Pastor?" I said, "Pray that I will stay clean and close." Why? Let's just paint the picture. As the pastor of this church, I have a moral demise. I have an affair. I have something of that nature that goes on. What happens? Well, Lord, it's a mess. One, my marriage is probably over, which would be the most horrible thing in the world, because I got the greatest wife in the world. Amen? That's the way I feel about my wife. Two, what would it say to you all? What would happen to this church if Pastor Mark had an affair? Huh? Be devastating. It would be. So my prayer for myself, and I want you to pray for me as well, that I'm going to stay clean and close. There's not going to be anything creep in there, hurt me out. Now, here's the second thing. We've got some great leaders here in this church, wonderful people of God. You know what my prayer for you is? What my goal for you? That you are going to stay clean and close. So men, I want you to listen to me here today. Especially if you're in a leadership, a servant leadership role here in this church. There's nothing worth your marriage. Nothing. Now, maybe things aren't going well at home. I don't know that. I understand that things can get off kilter. There's never a time that it's ever right to break the vows that you gave on your wedding day. Never a time. Period. End of story. So I want you to think about it. As much as it would be hurtful if I did it, it's probably going to be just about as equally hurtful if one of our leaders would come to surmise to something like that. So men, you better love your wives. Women, I want you to listen to me here today. My prayer is that you're going to stay clean and close to your husband. He may be an ogre. He may smell bad. He may forget your birthday. Listen. You respond to him with respect. And you can actually, if you want to talk to me about it, and we get together and talk about it with your husband, we'll talk to him about it. He needs to love you and cherish you. And we'll work on that. But don't throw it away over a week's worth of feelings or a year's worth of feelings or anything like that. Why? Because it hurt everybody around you. There's a passage in the Old Testament, I can't remember where exactly it is, but it just simply says, as the big cedar falleth, so shall the little fir. As one of us crumbles and succumbs to an infidelity, here within this fellowship, you're going to take others down with you. Amen? So I'm praying that you'll stay clean and close. And the third thing is that others will see the actions of this church. They will simply see the actions of Jesus. They're not going to see Jesus. They're going to see the effects of Jesus on what's going on. So let's move on to our final thing this morning here. Today's takeaways, and Chris Henry took the liberty of doing this. I think this is a great idea. It's not in your bulletin, but you can scratch it out and put it this way. Today's revelation is just keeping in with the way that we alliterated the 4 points today. Here it is. I want you to look at me and hear me and understand you are important to this church because God has made you special in his son. Period. You are important. And if it's not this church, it's some church somewhere. Second thing. Realize that God has made us all different so that we can function together for his purpose, his calling. It's not about our calling, our wants, our desires. It's about his purpose. And it does take different people to get the whole thing done. The third thing here today, and the final thing is this. Make yourself available. Maybe you've never taught. Maybe you've never assisted somewhere. Start out somewhere assisting. But you make yourself available. You use the gifts that you've got and make yourself available. And you see what the Lord's going to do for you and through you. Amen? I'm going to ask everyone to stand at this time. Would you bow your head with me and would you close your eyes? And I'd like to have a word of prayer here this morning. Father, again, we thank you for your love and for your provision. And we thank you, Father, for your word who is very powerful. In fact, Father, it is the way that we understand who you are. It has given us the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the Father. And in your word, Father, you draw this parallel between Christ and the church, and the church representing what Jesus is doing in the here and now. And Father, I pray that we will be that visible of the invisible. That, Lord, we realize that we are all in this together. That you've not called us, Father, to be this island, but you've called us to be parts of the whole. And that's the body of Christ. Now, today, Father, I know in a congregation probably of this size, there may be those that are here today that maybe have not truly connected with the church because they really don't have that personal relationship with Christ. And today, Lord, I pray that you'll draw them with cords of love. that, Lord, that they realize that they can be a part of something that is bigger than themselves, and that they have brothers and sisters that are out there that can come alongside them and help them through the tumultuous and turmoil things that come through us and to us at this life. So, Lord, I just pray that you will give this invitation through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, and I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.